Hello Mzanzi, you are listening to Farmers Inside Track, proudly brought to you by Food for Mzanzi. Officially, this is the world's best podcast for 2024, as awarded by One IFRA, the global organization for the world's press. I'm your host, Duncan Masiwa, and welcome to our next episode in our Farmer Mentor series. Now, since its inception in 2022, Tritoad Nursery has been a game changer in the commercial seedling and plant industry. Under the inspiring leadership of Sheena Polis, this woman-owned business based in Philippi, Cape Town, has rapidly grown into a powerhouse, specializing in vegetable, herb, and flower seedlings. Tritoad Nursery supplies major retail garden centers like Stodels, Cape Gardens, and Buco. But guess what? Sheena and her team are not just growing seedlings, they're also growing an impressive business with an estimated annual revenue exceeding 3 million rand. Let's meet Sheena. Sheena, thank you so much for joining us. It's lovely having you with us.
Duncan, thank you so much for having me.
Now,
lovely introduction. Thank you so much for that.
It's a pleasure. One thing that I didn't mention, Sheena, is that you are a recent award recipient. Quickly tell us a bit about that. We met at the award ceremony. Your speech was absolutely beautiful, very sincere and very authentic. Tell us a bit about the that you received.
It was with the Agriculture Writers Award. It was a nomination that I've put together from Food for Mzanzi. I was as surprised as I think everyone else because everything happened so quickly. Ivor just called me one day, asked me a few questions. He put forward the nomination. And then within a week, I was informed that I've been nominated and I have to be at the award ceremony. And when I arrived there, I was just pulled aside to say, okay, if they do call you up, this is what you do. And I was like, okay. And then Ivor says, if they do call you up, you can make a speech. I'm like, what? So I was as surprised, and I felt very honored. I still feel very honored just because of the way the story was told very authentically and captured. And for everyone else that was in the room, because when I looked up, yeah, I saw different types of people in that room. So that was quite empowering. And I can't tell you more. It just came about in a week's time, and then all of a sudden, I was there, and all the work that myself and my team has been doing for the last 2 years was just fully recognized. And I went back to the team. I told them yesterday, as well, wow, guys, we're doing really well. Yeah. Thank you.
I'm happy that your hard work behind the scenes, both you and your team, it's been recognized. I mean, you've been in operation for the past 2 years. I know a bit about your story, and the listeners will get to know your story a bit better. But you've been doing amazing work. So let's maybe start there. For those that know you, briefly share a bit about your journey into agriculture. What inspired you to go into wholesale nursery?
It has been a journey, even though the nursery has been in operations for 2 years. The journey into agriculture started about 5, 6 years ago while I was in the logistics industry. I noticed that these greenhouses or the material and the structures for the greenhouses were being transported. And I don't know at what stage the interest came about, but I always wanted to then grow something in a fancy, controlled environment. And then I looked at exporting it. So during my logistic years, I started looking into the research of greenhouses and growing different crops. And in, I think about 2018, 2019, I then decided to put all my focus into the agriculture sector and align myself to opportunities for women specifically in that area. And what I did was I then went about and I looked for farms in the Western Cape that had greenhouses and growing crops. And I also then met Byron Boyson, and he was very welcoming at the time. This is a few years back. And he showed me around his tunnels and the crops he was growing, and he shared quite a bit of his intellectual property. And from there, I developed a business plan, And the plan was to find land, set up greenhouse tunnels, grow specific crops, and then export them. Through that, I developed the plan. I contacted the agriculture department. There was various funding opportunities, which I then applied for. And while I was applying, I also needed to find land. And that was a challenge because there is no land available, or at least in my experience, that's accessible in the sense where you can grow there or zone properly and who owns it. There's a lot of challenges in the Western Cape, I believe. But I was fortunate enough to meet Jasper de Blanche, who is the owner of Land of Nursery. And I met him through a contact in the fertilizer industry, because prior to starting the nursery, I was tendering for fertilizers with the City of Cape Town. And I was awarded one of the tenders for 3 years. So I started getting to know everyone in the industry in that way. So it was the greenhouse tunnels, it's getting to know who's who in the zoo of agriculture. And with meeting Jasper, I met up at his farm for a meeting for fertilizer, but then I stepped into these greenhouses that I've only seen on the internet, and I was so amazed at this place. And I also saw that there was quite an open space. So with our discussion for fertilizer, because that was our link, I managed to then start a conversation and say, look, Jasper, I'm doing this and this is what I need and I'm looking for land. How do you feel about renting me some space and then I can start my project and then while I'm still pursuing this land issue? And he was open to it. And that all happened in about, say, between 2019, 2020. By 2020, I then had a lease agreement in place with Land of Nursery. I had a business plan. I submitted it to the agriculture department. The funding process started. We then hit COVID and everything was delayed. And then even after that, things were delayed because, I mean, COVID left everyone so uncertain. But that's why I say, if I submitted a plan in like 2020, 2021, and I only started my nursery 2 years ago, so then that took about almost 2 years for the funding to then be approved and then for the grant to be paid out. So what happened was the grant that I received, there was no physical cash. It was inputs based on my business plan. Physical inputs such as seed, trays, grow medium, fertilizers, and labor for those three cycles. The grant was then given, other inputs was procured through Cassidra. I was then left with all these inputs, and I initially thought that I'll, you know, supply agriculture departments with different projects, because while I was going through the committee, the funding committee for agriculture, there were questions such as, Sheena, have you grown anything before in a tunnel? And I said, no. And it was, Sheena, have you grown anything before? And I just thought, how am I going to get around that one? And I said, no, but my whole backyard is full of tomatoes and cucumbers. And it was true, because at the time, I was busy, you know, trying everything and limited space at home, but just wanting to experiment and wanting to get things going. There was a change in the goalpost when it came to my funding. What I initially said I'd like to do, which was grow these vegetables and then sell them to the market and even export them. The agriculture committee then, towards the end of the outcome of the project, said, Sheena, seeing that you with Land of Nursery, you're going to rent there, and they are commercial seedling suppliers, it would be best for you to maybe focus on positioning yourself as a seedling supplier, and you could then gain knowledge from Jasper. In essence, that aligned with the bigger plan, because there was a bigger vision. I didn't mention that part yet, but we'll get to that in a sec. So the bigger vision was that ultimately, the minute I met Jasper, he and I both knew that with him wanting to exit, he wants to retire, and me wanting to get into not just the agriculture industry, but also create wealth for my family, that the perfect succession plan would be that I start my nursery, grow it, and then essentially buy over Land of as well, and it all becomes one, and Jasper can go and retire peacefully. So that's still the plan. However, things don't happen overnight. The entire Land of Nursery is a big elephant in itself. They're a big player in the market. So I have to work hard and harder and smarter to actually be able to be sustainable enough to take over something like that. And that's what I'm working towards now. That's the future plans that we are in. Coming back to the nursery part, this is how I then ended up being in the seedling industry. meaning that the input that was granted was for me to start a seedling nursery. And I did exactly that. The only difference was I didn't have a market when I got the grant. And although I already penetrated the market, knocked on the doors prior to that, I wasn't getting any of that business, not in the farmer commercial side, not in the government side. And I went to prisons. I went to all the prisons in the Western Cape. I went to agriculture. I went to various projects saying, look, here I am, they support me. I wasn't getting any luck. And I then picked up the phone and I called Stodels and I said, hey guys, would you be interested in buying my seedlings? I've got these beautiful big trays. And they said, wow, okay, but we don't buy big trays. We only sell six packs. And at the time, I did not sell six packs or make six packs, but I said to them, I can do it. Well, I can do it. I said, okay, let me give you a price on my six packs. So what you worth it? And from the inception, they were very welcoming. I did my own costing on six packs. I then presented them with a number and a proposal. And within a few days, they came out of sight. I then had samples ready. And I worked those inputs, Duncan, to the point that by March, I got the grant, the physical inputs. By 1 July, I had a contract in place with Stodels to supply all five stores every week with vegetables, flowers, and herbs. It took me from, say, April, May, June to basically put that entire thing in place. We know we're sowing it. What are we packing? What must be ready? So come 1 July, I launched the nursery. I had a big launch. There are some nice photos on Facebook. I had the suppliers and the clients there. And I started supplying Stodels. And within 6 months, I went to Cape Gardens. I met with the owner there, Peter Paniker, very, very nice guy, very welcoming. I just opened up the bakkie. I had a bakkie at the time I was renting and I was doing deliveries. I came in and he was already saying, I don't want more of the same. I don't need this. He was very polite in that way. But when I said to him, this is my story. I just want to show you the quality of my product so that you don't miss out on what I'm offering the other nurseries right now. And I remember him walking with me to the bakkie. I opened the bakkie, looked at the seedlings, and within 5 seconds, he said, right, we are in business, follow me. He took me through the operation, and so now I supply two of these stores, Cape Gardens, Stodels. Buco came on board. Bucos are opening nurseries at all of their hardware stores, so we're supplying three or four of them now, at Manus, Worcester, Tukai. That's also just growing. It was word of mouth, Duncan. I knew that I needed to strategically exploit the social media area because I don't have money for marketing and advertising. So this is why I'm very active on social media. But I did that because I'm still competing with four or five other growers in the Western Cape that's been around for 20 plus years. Those guys have balance sheets that can't probably read the numbers. They've been in the industry. I've just come around now. I'm offering a very good quality product. I'm not getting pricing from somewhere and then we're fixing it. That's actually what's also been happening in the last 15 years that I've been in the industry. It's just how people somehow unconsciously entertain unethical ways of doing business. My thing has always been just do it yourself, do it from scratch. I'll take in whatever advice anyone gives, but it's better to learn through your own experience because I've surely had very different outcomes based on what mentors has told me before and people of whatever. So I've been working that nursery for 2 years nonstop. I've got a really great team of women and men. Oh gosh, Duncan, I think I cried in the first 6 months because I didn't understand that these plants would grow so fast. And by the time I get back to the nursery over a weekend, I can't send out big plants to retailers. They want a certain size. Then I'm sitting with overgrown stock. That happened within the first 6 weeks. I had maybe 300 commercial seedling trays that it was oversown. It was an oversight. It was a massive problem. And I was so overwhelmed at the time. And all I remember was I stood outside looking at all that trays. And I said, God, what do you want me to do? And somehow it's just like schools, phone the church, phone the prison, phone whoever you've been dealing with over the last few years and give it away. And Duncan, I picked up the phone, I made a post, and I had all kinds of people coming there picking up seedlings. So now 2 years later, I've got many of that people coming back as clients now because their gardens are established. They have been able to start it at least with seedlings, and they've been able to start somewhere because that's the other thing. If you want to do anything, you literally have to start. And if you start, everything else has momentum, and you just have to keep the momentum. But until you start, there is no momentum. So what that taught me was everything happens exactly the way it's supposed to happen. Because taking you back to 2018, I created a vision board. And on that vision board, I put down greenhouse tunnels, vertical systems. I put down corporate clients. I put down human well-being. I put down things on there that has manifested. I was very clear in 2018 that the next business I start and that I commit to is going to have a social impact. It's going to run on social impact. And in my mind at that time, I was thinking, you know, profits are going to go into social impact. Now, if I start a nursery and I fudge this thing up in 6 months with oversowing, not knowing what the hell I'm eating, right? And now I find myself giving away these seedlings, which then automatically aligns to my social impact by default. Yes. And I've just not stopped. Social impact started exactly when it needed to start. I thought I'd need to make some money to help people. I didn't need to. I share whatever I have with whoever I have that needs it because I know what it is to struggle, but I also know what it takes to take you out of that struggle. And it's the most simplest thing, but it's the hardest thing to do, and that is to shift your mindset. But you cannot shift your mindset if you have an empty stomach, number one, because your brain cannot function if you're hungry. But when you start planting and growing your own food, and you're literally taking a butternut out of your garden, I see sage, I have indigenous herbs here in my garden, we cut the oregano, just the most basic, simple stuff. The interaction of cutting your food from your garden and then placing it in your body, that energy exchange eradicates poverty in the mind. And you have self-empowered yourself. How is it that you can feel poverty and feel empowered? You can't. It's a very different vibration. But if you're going to position yourself to hold on to the momentum of that vibration that empowers you, the simple thing, you put the seedling in the ground and all you have to do is watch it, give it water when it needs, and it's going to yield to you and your family. It's like mind-blowing fulfillment. So I have the people coming to the nursery every day, schools, Mrs. Galant, Kensington Primary, Fattington Primary, Mr. McAvoy, years of just sponsoring seedlings and flowers, and they buy too. But just to see what happens in those gardens, they send me pictures all the time. I've got a guy that came to us the other day and said, look, he's got this business in Philippi. He needed to start again because I took a knock and it wasn't looking so good. And I didn't have a lot of seedlings at the time, mind you. Because I also became smarter in my sewing, Duncan. I had to learn. You know, I'm not here to sew and give away. I also have to be sustainable. I obviously, as a business owner, when you ask how did she do it, is every single challenge made me rethink and think and understand what's really happening. So I didn't just take things for granted. I obviously went back and identified there's the problem. We're going to have to reduce it here. We're going to have to increase it there. We're going to have to be aware of it here. So I'm a very mindful person, extremely mindful. When I zone in, and it's a personal thing because I've worked on myself for the last almost 20 years. If I remember my first encounter of saying, hey, what the fudge is this life really about? Who am I? What am I here for? What am I doing? What the hell? And since then, 20 years, it's just been a journey of understanding who I am, what I'm good at naturally. And that is to empower people. Somehow I've experienced many people with a very off energy. When they're in my presence, there's no way I transform that energy. So I do that in the business, in my work, with my relationship, with my staff. We have a great relationship, but it's built on lots of honest communication that's very difficult sometimes. But we do breakthrough. We know we've got lots of breakthroughs. And then we constantly have to remind ourselves. I have to constantly remind myself as well about my integrity and not abusing my power, not taking advantage of people, and not in the way that we just see it like at face value, but there are other ways of doing these things, and you're not knowing you're doing these things. So I'm mindful about that.
You've definitely answered it in depth. Your story is absolutely amazing, Sheena, and it's one of those things where when you start speaking to someone, you realize, okay, maybe this should be a series of interviews because there's so much to unpack.
Okay, there are so many in-between stuff that it was so paramount to where I am now, like the vision board and why that was important and how that even came about. And that's probably the biggest thing in this whole story when it comes to what everyone else is seeing as a blow-up Sheena nursery female thing. But in essence, there's a very personal story that I think that is more beneficial for people to hear as opposed to seeing something, feeling inspired, but inspiration only lasts for a few minutes, darling. There's something else it takes. We all know this, that something else. We have an internal fight with ourselves, essentially, with no one else. So business is tough. I spoke to a friend last night. We visited to get some things from them because they bought us their camping things. And we had this conversation about business, and she was saying to me, "Oh, I just want to start my own business now." But the way she was saying it is because she looks at me and she thinks I have a very luxury life and it's nice. And Duncan, I had to burst her bubble. I had to tell her what I dealt with on Monday, what I dealt with on Tuesday. I gave her the highs and the lows because it's important to understand that this road, it is the toughest I've ever experienced. And I've been in a corporate environment. I worked for two big corporate companies. I know what it's like to be ambitious and want to grow and feel limited. But being a business owner is not for the faint-hearted. I'm not going to discredit and say that those who's got a job, you the worker and you the this or you the follower. We need all kinds of people to make this world work. All types of intellectuals, all types of spiritual people, all types of people, the academics, the creatives. So that's what I'm saying. Being a business owner, it's not easy. And I'm going to just say that because every day I have various challenges and some days they feel more overwhelmed than others. But because I get through that day, I suppose that is the checkbox to, I can keep doing this and this is how it's growing and growing. But essentially, it's Sheena that needs to grow. Because if I'm not going to grow, Duncan, this business is not going to grow. And because I'm in a position where I've been number one as a female, which is very important to acknowledge, I was empowered through that grant to start this business. And I've had all the challenges I've experienced in the 15 years of being in business, same sort of challenges. I do it differently because I've learned. What I'm saying is the challenges has not changed. So those things don't change. You just have to get better and better at how you respond to it. And that's a personal thing. So that's why I'm saying it still boils down to an individual and not a business. The business allows for the vehicle of expression.
Let me ask you this then, Sheena. You talk about the importance of, in order for your business to be successful as a business owner, while you need to work on building the business, you also need to work on, I suppose, building and investing in yourself. What are those things that talks about you investing in yourself, you working on yourself?
When we started the business, myself and Devon, this was our logistics business in 2010. We had no experience, like education. We didn't go to a business school. Had no experience in logistics, but we had this internal drive. And that drives where that keeps you going. So in that internal drive, I remember, because this was so exciting, so new, I opened myself up to learning. So number one, learning as in what it was that I was busy with. I was busy with starting a business. So I got books around that. I was dealing with financial information because only up until, say, prior 2010, I didn't understand what the hell a balance sheet is, what it means. So only when I started a business, I could understand this maybe even a year into it because I didn't want to because I didn't understand and I didn't want to understand because I'm busy with the creative stuff or the sales stuff. What I'm saying is that as an individual, whatever you want to get into, it's your responsibility to educate yourself with as much information about that field, whether it's money, whether it's personal, whether it's spiritual. For me, it was all of the above. I worked on myself, meaning that in terms of personal development, I have done a program called Inner Engineering. It's a yoga program that is designed by Sadhguru. I don't openly speak about it because people always, I've had family and I've had friends that has this connotation, they think it's a religious thing. Where you hear yoga, you think it's an exercise thing. I did this program where they teach you certain yogic practices. And once you taught these practices over a period of 3-4 days, this initiation you go through. I remember at the end of the initiation, there was a karmic dance that we did, and it basically stripped us from any past karma that we are carrying. I don't understand what I'm carrying, but I know there's a feeling of carrying. And I remember, this was in 2018, Duncan. I remember doing this course. I remember coming back that Sunday night, and I felt like I shed my snake skin, and I was a brand new person. Wow. Brand new person, meaning that every single belief that I had, that I was brought up with, that I knew didn't feel right, I wasn't afraid to speak my mind anymore and say, okay, that's how you feel. I feel a different way. I wasn't afraid to be who I was and who I am. And a lot of people still operate from old belief systems unconsciously. Very unconscious. They're not aware of it. So for me, going through that spiritual journey that I've done, it took work because after you go and do the program, you have to do the practice, meaning every morning and every night, you have to do a 40-minute yogic practice. You have to do it for 40 days. And it's called mandala. So you have to complete it. You can't break the cycle. You have to do it for 40 days twice a day. And I did that. I did it. I had to say no to alcohol. So it stripped me from all the unconscious behaviors that I had. And I was able to be very conscious of every single decision that I was making in my life. People, like, I'm going to come back to the point of just vibrating on unconscious behavior. It's because people are not clear, number one, who they are and what it is that they truly want. And even though what I said I wanted, I see the manifestation coming to place. But there's also such deeper meanings, which just makes me gain a different perspective altogether. So there's so much learning. So it's not like what I wanted in 2018, I'm just getting it now. I'm not just getting it now. I'm getting a deeper fulfillment of life right now. And I happen to get the money I said I want, the clients I said I want, the house I said I want, the family I said I want. So that program shifted me and it changed, I would say, everything. But prior to that, I was doing the spiritual work, reading the spiritual books, understanding the body, the mind, the soul. I was reading the business books, how to build and sell a business, the psychology of money, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, The Alchemist, a lot of books. I remember just going through a period of absorbing information as a sponge. When I shifted, the Sheena is comfortable with Sheena. So all that knowledge I then gained and then coming into myself, being very content with who I am, and that disrupted so much things around me, Duncan, you must understand. Relationships, parents, marriage, all of those things were affected just by me coming into myself. So when I say it's a personal journey, I mean it in that sense that you get to see life a little bit for what it really is. You get to see people who they really are. So your realities start becoming different. And then you get to choose. Is that what you want? And if that's not what you want, okay, great. So what is it that you do want? And then you say what you want. And then you offer that vibration of what you want. And you align yourself to those things. And that's a practice. That's a technique. That is a whole programming that you have to do. So I've done courses in neuro-linguistic programming. And that's to do with the brain, the thought process. But it all comes back to the power of now, Eckhart Tolle. It brings you into the present moment. If you get into the present moment, you will know there's nothing out of place right now. So whatever you think you're stressing about over this, that, and that, and all the excuses and all the reasons we give our stresses, and then we perpetuate the stresses, we think we sound so important because you have so much more stress. That's such a lot of BS. Whole different way of living. There was a period I felt alone, but I also understood that I needed to feel that in order to be okay with myself. What I am saying to young people is coming from my experience. A relationship you get into when you know yourself. You know yourself, you know what you want, you're a responsible human being, and you can be of value to that other human being, and you guys can come together. And both of you, it's not a 50-50, it's 100-100. And that is the benefit of a relationship. But because there's so many beliefs still going around of how people must be in relationships, business, personal, and people have bought into it, that there isn't a willingness to actually acknowledge there's something going on, man. Let's be honest here. Or we're just going to keep doing this. We're just going to keep doing this. Personal development, reading books, done courses. The most profound one was the inner engineering. I would recommend that to anyone and every single one. In fact, Regan, my partner, has done it. Storm, my daughter, has done it. Storm cannot stop thanking me for introducing her. She's 22 years old. Young, beautiful girl, dealing with life. What the youth is going through these days is nothing compared to what we went through. So we cannot even assist them because we don't even know what they're going through. In fact, we just have to find the best tools we can offer and make available to them. Because there's so much things happening on that level where the youth are struggling. So that inner engineering course, it brings you right to who you are. Self-love, connection, strips all the beliefs. And some people don't want that stripped yet. Maybe that's why not everyone is just like jumping on it and getting into it. And they say when you're ready, like the teacher appears, or when people are ready to stop living their lives with these blinkers on, then they're going to know what they really need to work on, and that's themselves. Then it doesn't matter if you're going to pursue being a doctor, or you're going to pursue being a business owner, or you're going to pursue being a really great parent. Whatever you're going to do, you're going to do it to the best of your ability, and you're going to love what you're doing, and there's going to be fulfillment in it. So this is why it's not the business that brings the fulfillment. It's the self-discovery within Sheena. The business just allows the expression for me to be able to allow that creativity to come out, to be able to give what I want. Because the other thing is, have you ever heard that whatever you want, you have to give it away in order for it to be received? Because it's an energy exchange. So if you want something, Duncan, think about it. Just say with me, you want money. First, give it away in order for it to come to you. How bizarre is that, right? But now just listen to this one. I came about these learnings, and it's universal principles, it's spiritual principles, deeper understandings and stuff. I came about this when I was extremely, call it break. I had no money in 2018, 2019, because our first business had to liquidate for various reasons. And that's a whole story on its own. And it was a very difficult time, financially, emotionally, you had alles. I didn't know how I would get through it. I'm a strong person, but to go through that in your mind so sterk is. Anyway, that just took me back there. Then we get back to my point I was trying to make.
And what I'm hearing from your story is that the work that you've done on yourself has sort of benefited your farming enterprise as well. And I'm appreciative of the conversation, because it's a conversation that not always have in interviews or discussions. So thank you for that. If I have to bring it to a close, you've mentioned some of the things that you've done in your personal space to work, to develop yourself and grow yourself. You've mentioned, coming back to the business, your approach to social media marketing and how aggressive you are in that. What are some of the strategies that you can point to and say, this, Duncan, has contributed to my growth as a business owner and also as a wholesale nursery?
Definitely social media, Duncan. And in the word of mouth, eh? Because what do people do really to grow their business, to advertise it, to what do companies? I'm not worried about what companies do. I just figured out this works for what's happening in the industry at the moment, where social media is, where people guys are, because it's such a vibe at the nursery, I just love sharing it. So I'm really grateful for social media and AI as well. I use that as well for my business plans, for communication. It just enhances everything. So it's using that tools again to enhance the business, enhance the individual that enhance the business. Yeah. But definitely, I would say one of the big contributors would be social media. I mean, I didn't have a team of salespeople going out, growing the sales. I didn't advertise on the radio and I didn't pay for advertising. The only advertising I did was the social media. Yes, there was a budget for certain things. It was just aggressively putting the business out there. And it, like I say, word of mouth and offering that service and offering that quality, and it just spread. It's still spreading. For example, I could have taken a different strategic approach, but I would have needed different resources to maybe get to that. Whereas I used what I had, which was just the power of social media that I could access, because I didn't have resources such as money and individual that runs the sales that can rep for me and can grow the business. That all happened by way of people seeing it, hearing about the brand, experiencing the brand. That's very important, because I've had more people tell me, oh, I bought your product. Oh, I've heard about your nursery and I'd like to try this. And then had an experience of trying it, and they'll just come back and they'll tell their friends. And then I've got the friend coming saying, oh, no, Mark told me I must come here. Oh, no, Kathy told me I must. So definitely social media and having a really good quality product that leaves the consumer with an experience to want to come back for more.
Gina, 2 years operating, but you've been able to achieve so much already. What does the future look like for you? I know that there's plans to construct a solar-powered greenhouse. Tell us a bit about going forward.
There's a few things in the plans, in that I'm in the process of purchasing the portion of land that I'm currently occupying, which then includes a 3,500 square meter greenhouse plastic tunnel, as well as a just over 1 hectare shade net and some agriculture land just adjacent to it. And the idea is to obviously maximize the space completely. But when it comes to the greenhouse tunnel, we use a hydroponic system. The only other factor I'm going to bring in is solar power, so we don't have to rely on the electricity. And then we'll have a complete greenhouse building, because it would be solar powered. It has a hydroponic system, so all the water is just recycled back. And then I have experimented with the hydroponic farming, growing in the vertical soil system. I've done trials over the last 2 years, and I have various crops that I'm intending to grow in that space. So the idea is to turn that 3,500 square meter tunnel into a completely green space. So soilless, waterless, electricityless, honestless. So that's really me. I do that one.
Yeah.
It's going to be a green building completely. Yeah.
That was, of course, Sheena Polis, the founder of Tritoad Nursery. You can, of course, read more on this topic by visiting www.foodformzanzi.co.za. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. For me, Duncan Masiwa, our technical producer, Megan van der Vent, and the rest of hashtag Team Food from Zanzi, thanks for listening.